so that when we walk away, there are very specific steps around what we will do next, and the parties are at the table that's going to help to implement and to move that forward. I think that is so critical to the process. Then let me just touch upon a couple of the things that I think we need to stop doing as a race of people. We've spent too much time incorporating and grafting everybody else in our empowerment struggle, and it has not worked for us. The whole idea of the Rainbow Coalition has not worked for us. The diversity, equity, and inclusion that is now being challenged in the United States have not worked effectively for us. Let me tell you why. The Indians are doing very, very well. Everywhere in the world, they're doing well. In my community where I live in central New Jersey, it is totally controlled by Indians. Now, let me give you a perspective. Wayfair, for those of us in the United States, is located in Cranberry, New Jersey. Wayfair, an Indian-owned corporation, has grown to become one of the largest of its kind in the world. Bola, that you find at almost every mobile gas station in the world, another Indian-owned enterprise. They are doing well everywhere in the world. I'm in South Africa 3-4 times a year. The Indians are doing well. I'm just coming from Seoul, Korea. I was totally shocked. My last time in Seoul, Korea was 15 or so years ago. Today, the place is totally developed. The shacks no longer exist. Townships no longer exist in Seoul, Korea. They are doing well. So as a result of all that we have done such a great job empowering everybody else. And I really believe it's time for us to look at how we empower ourselves. If we bring that home to Grenada for a moment, here goes a small country, only 115,000 people, a GDP of less than $2 billion, but Grenada is the second largest producer of nutmeg in the world. So why is nutmeg not fully owned by Grenadans everywhere in the world? I really believe it is time for black people to do one thing. We must bring, and yes, there are other communities that should come later. I believe that the African world, the Caribbean world in particular, and the African American community need to forge a partnership that is founded on an economic agenda. I'm not negating the importance of the other agendas, but I do believe that what black people need is a four-tier process at the foundation of our move for economic growth. Economic power must be a spiritual inculcation. We tie culture to that. We tie all of these other elements to that, but that's at the foundation. That economic power must drive, spiritual foundation must drive economic power. We talk too little about economics. We are almost afraid. We have socialized our agenda to the degree that we have minimized the role that economics ought to play. And that's why I really want to commend Dr. Ron that the first conversation we're having here is about economics, because that's what everything got to be built on. We got to come to the understanding, when we look at all other races, they never have to do the social agenda issues as we black people are doing. Why? Because they understand, well, if we're able to advance the economic agenda, the social transformation will automatically happen. Because guess what? If you own your community, if you own your banks, if you own your industries, if you own the resources around you, you have your own capacity to guide what you do socially. I want to challenge us to really understand that. And that is why the last mountaintop message from Dr. King was so important, because he recognized that at the end of the day, if blacks in America are going to get out of this mess, we're going to have to turn to the economic strategy. And the economic strategy for black people everywhere, especially now, it got to be two-tier. One element of the economic strategy has to be economic activism. We've gone far from that. We've done political activism. That's why we've got political freedom all across Africa. But we've failed to do economic activism. So as much as there's no longer apartheid, political apartheid in South Africa, there's still economic apartheid. So all this game that they're playing with us about, white refugees from South Africa, I spend 4 months almost every year in South Africa. The reality is the richest square mile in the world is in South Africa. You want to tell the difference between white South Africans and black South Africans? I need everybody to write this down. It's important. Per capita for blacks in South Africa is $3,500 US dollars. $3,500 US dollars. That's the per capita for blacks in South Africa. Write down the per capita for whites. $121,000, the highest in the world, to the degree that even the New York Times says that South Africa is the most unequal country in the world. That's our reality. So I really, if I were to put this in context and make a call, and that is to really suggest that when we come next year, I think it is so important that we organize, that the chambers are here, that small businesses are here, so that we're creating the right kind of partnership. I remember years ago when I met Dr. Roy Hastick, who happens to be the late Dr. Roy Hastick. He was the president for the Caribbean American Chamber of Commerce and industry in New York City. I kind of helped to shape that. I was the one who got the first $200,000 US to fund that organization through Paula Ralph Lauren. And by the way, that was through activism. So we have to use activism to challenge the economic exploiters to reduce their exploitation and to provide partnerships. And on the flip side of that, we have to better empower black businesses at every level. We spend too much time complaining about the challenges that we will always be complaining about them, because the challenges will always be there. At the end of the day, we have to spend more time making sure that we are building more black businesses. Let them thrive. It's okay if they're not supporting all the stuff that you need. You know, trust me, we will benefit one way or another from successful black businesses, successful black billionaires. The whole concept of them doing business, hiring from within, it is pitiful just to consider the fact that in America, despite all the black businesses that we have, and we don't have that many, that black businesses employ the least black people, because most of our businesses don't even have employees. Right. I end, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.